still live there, but Nancy and I care for my 101-and-a-half-year-old mother in our home, and so my brothers and sister always give us the 21st day of the month off for our date, and so this month we get to go to Pendleton, which will be exciting. And we have two sons and a daughter. Our daughter lives in Fairview, and her son is going to start at Reynolds High this fall, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. So he plays baseball for Reynolds Middle School right now. But the games are so up in the air, you don't know if you're going to play or not because of the rainfall this past month. It's just they've been canceled this last week, but that's the way things go. But I would really like us just to bow in prayer and ask God to speak to our hearts today. Holy Father, we ask that you will speak to our hearts personally and that you will refresh us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nancy and I are members at the sister church of this one at just down the way. It's exit 16, so Wood Village Baptist Church. And our pastor greeted me this morning and said that his very first sermon was in this church. And so he wanted me to pass on that greetings. Pastor Tom Miles, after our senior pastor passed away in 2020, Bill Amon, we called him last year to be Tom Miles to be our senior pastor, and he's done a tremendous job. And so we're thankful to be a part of each other out here in East Multnomah County. And Dave Sucher, who has been a pastor out here too at Living Hope Church, he prays for four churches in our primarily, not only these, but yours is one of those churches. And he was to be the speaker. So I'm his substitute, and his wife is battling with some headaches, and thank the Lord, some new medicine is helping her. So we were together in our villagers class just in the 9:30 to 10:30 hour. But he passes on greetings and his prayers for our church, for this church and our fellowship together in Christ. I'm thankful for the reading of the scripture in Lamentations 3 and the verse 24, right after, "Great is your faithfulness, how the Lord is my portion, says my soul. And therefore I will hope or have that certainty of everlasting life with him." And I've learned a lot this month about how the Lord is my portion personally. And as I was praying about it, I was writing in my daily bread journal about speaking here this Sunday. And it was amazing how I had tried to summarize how the Lord is my portion by just saying, God is all we need. And he will satisfy every need that we have. And so that is the theme today. God is all we need. From this verse, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul." The background to "The Lord is my portion" is in Deuteronomy 12:12 uses it. Joshua 13, if you want to just look there, in the first part of Joshua, he has all the people consecrate themselves to the Lord, and then they have the conquest of the groups that lived in the Holy Land. And then in Joshua 13, they begin the allotment, and that is the portion. Each tribe was given a portion of the Holy Land, the Promised Land, but in verse 37, Joshua 13:33, "But to the tribe of Levi, Moses gave no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel is their inheritance. just as he said to them. And so he became their portion, their allotment, the part of the land, and that all the others received, they weren't given. They were given a tithe, and Numbers 18:20 says to Aaron the priest, you know, you share those tithes with the people, with the Levites who were assigned to the tabernacle service and so forth. And so we have to take the fact that the Lord became the portion for the Levite people or that tribe. No inheritance of the land, but the Lord was to be their inheritance. He was to be all important to them. When everything was done correctly and the tithes were given, they received a tenth portion of that, and then they were to give a tenth of that to the priests. And they lived on that. And then that idea of a portion was given in the book of Psalms. And my mom's favorite psalm is the one we had up on the screen, Psalm 73, in particular, verse 26. And in that psalm, Asaph, the writer, is a Levite, and he says that the Lord is my portion forever. And he indicates in verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart physically may fail, and most of us realize that. But God is the strength or the rock of stability of my heart, and he's my portion forever. And so Asaph is stating, God is my portion. God is all that we need. And he is my allotment in life. So whether we own property or not, the real issue is the Lord everything to me? Is he more important than land? Is he more important than my stock portfolio? Is he more important than my relationships, as important as those are? But we make the Lord number one in our life. My wife and I, Nancy, have a verse that we have made our life verse, and that is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. So God says if we put him number one, first place in our life, then he'll take care of the rest. And we have found over 566 and a half months that that's true. He really does come through. He takes care of us more abundantly than we could ever imagine. And so Asaph was one of those who truly found that the Lord was everything. And he was a worship leader. He was one whose family was in charge of the music in the temple that Solomon built. And so I appreciate the songs that we have sung so far today, and just that truly do bring honor to the Lord. There was another Levite named Jeremiah. And that was our scripture reading in Lamentations. And in this passage, in Lamentation 3, he is writing about the downfall of Jerusalem and grieving over it. And very artistically, he writes, beginning every three verses with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet, so in alphabetical order. And he takes the letter kate, kind of a guttural sound, that we get the word kesed from, that steadfast love, loving kindness, as the New American Standard Bible put. And then you get to this word portion that also starts with that same letter, kalech. And the Lord is my portion, says my soul. And so even though he was a Levite, he saw that God, in destroying all the city of Jerusalem, and it would be burnt, and he was grieving over that, he still had a personal relationship with the Lord. In our daily bread, there's a writer named Dave Brainin, and he prayed for his children like we all do. And sadly, his 17-year-old daughter was killed in a car accident. And he said, does that mean we stop praying? Does that mean we give up on God? And he said, no, I still pray. My wife and I still hang on to God. Yes, we experience one of life's tragedies, the loss of one of our children, but the Lord is my portion. God is still good to us every day, all the time, no matter what. And so we can, he says with his soul, Jeremiah does, even with the loss of his home city that he lived in, the Lord is my portion. I may lose my home, or like those in Nigeria, those in Ukraine, those who have had some weather disaster come through, we can lose property. That doesn't last. But our relationship with God is what remains forever and ever. And then there's a man who is not a Levite, but had no home, no place to call his home. And this person is a very famous one named David. If you would turn in your Psalms to 142, Psalm 142, David is writing while he's hiding in a cave from King Saul. And this is where I learned a lot about how we can apply making the Lord my portion, that God is all we need. In this passage, he is praying, and he is just crying out loud to God with his voice. He's pouring out a complaint before him, and so you could even say this is a lament, just like what Jeremiah had, and I will tell my trouble before him. And did you know it's okay to have a bad day? It's not always zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. He had trouble at this time. For a decade, he was running from King Saul. And his spirit was fainting within him. Verse 3, God, you know my way. He was feeling down. And in the path where I walk, they've hidden a trap for me. Everywhere he went, where he had lived with his wife, Michal, the daughter of King Saul, they were watching that house. If he ever came back to that house, he would be captured. He could not go there. We believe his family in Bethlehem, perhaps his parents had to be relocated because they were the parents of King David. His mother was a believer, a maidservant of the Lord, he calls her. He couldn't go back to his hometown. And he says in verse 4, there's no refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. And so he cries out, I cry out to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Right down here, even though he couldn't call any place home, and he was away from home, hiding in a cave, he wanted to keep his faith in God, that God cares. He believed God would take care of him. And in light of this idea of a lot, a piece of property, the allotment given to the tribes, he was of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus was a descendant. In 1 Samuel 26, this is what I learned fresh and new about the idea of God being our portion in life. In this passage, he states in 1 Samuel 26, I'll pick it up at verse 13, they had just captured King Saul's sword. Abishai wanted to throw it through King Saul. the Lord put a deep sleep. Actually, in verse 12, no man saw that David took the jar of water from Saul's head or beside his head, and they went away. No man knew it, because nor did any awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen upon them. So here's David Saul chasing David and his men. And David went to the other side and stood far off on the top of the hill and with a great space between them. And David called to the army and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, will you not answer Abner, who was the general? Then Abner answered, who are you who calls to the king? And David said to Abner, are you not a man? Who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not kept watch over your lord, the king? For one of the people came in to destroy the king, your lord. This thing you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die because you have not kept watch over your lord or master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the jar of water that was at his head, and he holds it up. Saul recognizes David's voice and said, is this your voice, my son David? And so here Saul's been believing the lie of the enemy that David wanted to kill Saul. David said, it is my voice, O Lord, Master, O King. And he said, why does my Lord pursue after his servant? For what have I done? What evil is on my hands? Now, therefore, let my Lord the King hear the words of his servant. If it is the Lord who has stirred you up against me, may he accept an offering and bring forgiveness. But if it is men, may they be cursed before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day, and here's the key word, that I should have no share or portion in the heritage of the Lord, saying, and then this is the lie they were saying, David, go serve other gods. You can't come here and worship at our tabernacle anymore. And he says, now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth away from the presence of the Lord. He wanted to be back in the promised land. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a single flea like one who hunts a partridge in the mountains. It's just not worth it, Saul. And then Saul apologized and repented and told him he was sorry for what he had done and he would stop the chase. And it stopped there. David, a man who had a heart for the Lord, still made mistakes in the remainder of his life. But he said, even though I have no share, no allotment in the promised land, I can't even worship with the Lord's people for this decade. He's saying, the Lord's my portion. Going back to Psalm 142, verse 5, even when he was a bit depressed inside of a cave, away from home, away from everything familiar, he still said, God, you are the most important person in my life, and I'm going to serve you. And that's what he wants. Because the Lord is all we need, then we need to give him all we are. So many people have found all I have is the Lord left. Their home is taken away, like Ruth in the Bible. She was bereft of her husband. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, lost her husband and her two sons. And they lost, and she was away from the land of Israel, and she felt that way. And yet, in the midst of it, she had a powerful influence on this young woman, Ruth, that Ruth would say, your God is my God. I'm not going to go back to Moab's gods, Molech, or any of those false gods. I'm making the Lord my true God. So even though all she had left was the Lord, they went back to the land penniless. They had to glean alongside the harvesters. Yet God took care of them. God was good to Naomi and Ruth and provided a family and land being purchased by the kinsman redeemer. The Lord is our portion. The Lord is all we need. And because the Lord is all we need, I would like to apply this as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I need peace of heart and mind, when I'm feeling down, I need God's peace. John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." That solace of our heart and mind. And after this message, we're going to sing, and I trust we'll sing all three verses of What a Friend We Have in Jesus, because at the very end of the third stanza, it tells us what a solace we have. It's just like God puts his arms around us, and what a friend we have in Jesus, and he truly cares for what we are going through. When I need assurance of salvation, I take God at his word in the Gospel of John. And one of your pastor's sister named Jan Goodrick taught a Bible club in my boyhood home when she was going to Multnomah. And I memorized John 3:16 in the King James, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have a present possession, have everlasting life." I was a preschooler, 4 years old, when I memorized that verse. And Jan and her friend had a flannel graph and showed the cross, and actually the cross on either side with the other enemy, or ones who had been killed. And I realized that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and then on the third day, he was raised from the dead. And I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I went into the kitchen where my mom was baking an apple pie with our apple tree in the backyard, Gravenstein apples, and I said, "I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart to be my Savior. And so she asked me about what I understood of Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection, and led me in prayer to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I believed not only did Jesus love the world, but that day it dawned on me, he loved me personally. He died for me personally. He rose from the dead so that I might live and not have to go to hell, but to be with him, absent from the body, present with the Lord forever. And I had that assurance of salvation. But there are times when we have doubts, and that's a very normal experience of Christians. And what we have to do is just go right back to God's word, and this is what you said, Lord, "I shall not perish. I have everlasting life." And all through the Gospel of John, that belief is the requirement that we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So then when the enemy puts those doubts in our minds, we say, "No, I'm not going to take your word. You are a liar, the father of lies. I'm going to believe the truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, I shall never perish." And that settles it for me. When I blow it and sin, when I need forgiveness of sins, I believe 1 John 1:9, that if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So we place and we acknowledge before God that what we did was wrong, what I said was wrong, or my attitude or my tone of voice was inappropriate. And then we take Romans 8:1 that states with emphasis, there is therefore right now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When he said he would forgive me, he forgave me. And he is so good, Psalm 86:5, and forgiving. And forgiving, which assumes he knows we're going to sin and make mistakes. And so we accept his forgiveness. When I need guidance, I have the greatest counselor, the Lord God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in his providence, he will guide us. So when we need guidance, Psalm 32, verse 8, encourages us, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And it can be very simple things. Maybe you're a deacon here at this church. Maybe an elder. Well, I guess Bob already left. But when we need prayer about a responsibility, even right here in the church, we can ask that God will guide us and counsel us. When our pastor died in August, or in the summer of 2020, it left our church in transition. What do we do? And our associate pastor had been filling the pulpit or during the COVID virus and so forth. And it was an easy transition, but we all had to go through the process of seeking God's counsel, praying, Lord, is this your choice for our local church? And so I think not only individually, but as a church body, when we need guidance, we consult the Lord. Amen? We take it to the Lord in prayer. And that's the way it is in that song that we're going to sing of what a friend we have in Jesus. Is sometimes we miss God's peace because we don't take it to him in prayer. And he just wants to relieve us of our cares and concerns and worries by having us just say, Lord, what am I supposed to do here? And that's what I did in my prayer journal, and I ripped the page out of it, but I said, Pastor Gary of Troutdale Community Church called and asked me what I was going to speak on this last Tuesday, and I had to make a choice. And so I finally decided I'm going to speak about the Lord is my portion, my allotment, a piece of real estate assigned to me. Papa, you're my teacher. I need your help. Please give, and you gave me the main idea. Since you are all I need, let's give you all we are. And I turned over the page of this prayer journal, and it had a confirming quotation. When all you have is God, you have all you need. And I said, okay, Lord, I hear you talking. I'm supposed to bring this message to the Lord. And so I would say that is what he wants us to do. Since God is all we need, let's give God all we are. In a song, Living for Jesus, the chorus says, oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to you, for thou, or you, in your atonement, didst give yourself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be your throne. My life I give, henceforth to live, from this day forward, O Christ, for thee alone, with him on the throne. Amen. Let's sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus.